on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? It's another edition of the YokeCast podcast, and we are fired up. It is home week for Coyote volleyball and Coyote football. Home openers for both. Make sure you come on out and support. Also, soccer in action on Thursday at home as well. So lots of home events in Coyote Athletics. Check them out at the Sanford Coyote Sports Center, the soccer field, or the Dakota Dome. All of them. It's going to be a great week in Coyote Athletics. Well, Coyote football dropped a game last week at Lemoore. Obviously, a lot of disappointment amongst the loss, but you know what? Time now to get things headed in the right direction. We'll see if the Coyotes can do it at home. It's a whiteout, so wear white to the game if you have it. If you don't have a USD shirt, just wear something white. Why not? Make the whole place white. Just because the team might not be in all-white uniforms doesn't mean all the fans can't be in all-white uniforms. So let's white out the Dakota Dome. Have a little fun with it on Saturday afternoon as the Coyotes take on Northern Colorado. And then after the game, head on over to the volleyball matchup against Kansas. That is also a whiteout, so no need for a wardrobe change. We're doing whiteout in doubleheader format with football and volleyball. So check it all out. Should be a fun week in Coyote Athletics. Coming up in the podcast today, we're going to preview the Northern Colorado Bears with Chris Bolin. He's the analyst on the radio broadcast for Northern Colorado. The Bears are coming off of a near upset of Colorado State, so we'll talk about that and more. And up first, I had a chance to catch up with Cameron Ferris, a senior volleyball player for the Coyotes. Oh, by the way, she's from Lansing, Kansas, and the Coyotes take on the Kansas Jayhawks this week. Remember, her sister played for the Kansas Jayhawks as well? That, we talk about all of it coming up here in the conversation. So with that, here's a conversation with Cameron Ferris, a senior on the Coyote volleyball team. Cameron, your team preparing for finally a home opportunity and a home weekend, taking on three opponents this weekend, but two road trips to start the year. You go to the Mountain Time Zone, then the Eastern Time Zone, now back in the Central Time Zone. Describe the experience to start the season.
The season's been a lot of fun so far. Obviously, traveling the first two weekends can be difficult, but our coaches worked really hard to give us the opportunity to host these last two preseason weekends at home. And I think one of the only other times they've done that was my freshman year. And I just remember how much we loved being at home, playing in front of our home fans. But of course, still enjoyed both of those first two preseason weekends.
4-2 to start the year. Both of the two weekends so far have been 2-1 for your team. What have you seen as a veteran leader on this group? What have you seen out of this team?
I think this team competes really hard. We've talked about our defense a lot, but that's everyone on the court, from our block to the back court. And we're just going to fight and extend a lot of rallies. And I think we're going to continue to get better as we go. But just how do we find ways to win and keep the ball in play, and I think it's going to be really fun to watch us play.
Take us through a play for you. Obviously, your job, first and foremost, is to dig the attack of the other team. What are you looking for as they're setting up their offense to try to put yourself in the best decision? And sometimes it's make the right guess.
Yeah, I mean, our coaches obviously put us in a spot to, they're the best position to dig the ball, but there's a lot of reading that comes with it too. And so sometimes watching the attacker's angle of approach and seeing if I think they're going a certain place, getting into that spot and just being stopped on defense, that way I can make a move out of it and the ball doesn't come to you every time, but how do you go make a play and just find a way to get that one extra touch?
You're no stranger to making a lot of digs, and you've earned Defensive Player of the Week honors in the Summit League and things like that. What's more fun for you, the big dig that sets up the attack or the ace serve? Because I know you know how to do that too.
That's a hard one. I think it kind of depends. Obviously, a big dig and scrappy play can turn into a big kill for us, and I always think it's fun to celebrate my teammates, but also the way that my teammates celebrate any of us after a big ace is a lot of fun, and I think aces can be big momentum changers.
When you look back at your career just up to this point, I mean, you spent a couple of years waiting for your opportunity and staying patient and getting better, and then you got the opportunity, and you've not looked back since then. How would you describe your career and your development at South Dakota?
I mean, it's been so much fun. I've just seen so much growth in myself over the years that I've been here, and playing next to really good defensive players each year I've been here. And I will say this year has probably been extra fun, bringing in newbies that have challenged me in a lot of ways, and I just think that have made me better as a player, but just our whole team.
What's the biggest thing you've had to get better at individually to continue to elevate your game and help this team?
I think this year I've focused on leadership a lot. We return a lot, but also have some less experienced players. So just finding ways to make my teammates around me better, giving the freshmen and transfers confidence as they get into more time here as a Yote. And so I think just continuing to make my teammates around me better.
You talk about being a leader and maybe a little bit more vocal than you have been in the past. If people know you, you're pretty sweet, nice, you're soft-spoken. How do you dig deep, and when your team really needs, you know, grab the attention, how do you find, you know, the way to approach that and get this team fired up?
Thank you first. I mean, I think that I don't necessarily have to change who I am. I think that everyone knows what to expect from me, but also getting out of my comfort zone a little bit this year and kind of working through that in the spring, in the summer, and just finding moments that I can step in, knowing that I'm doing what's best for the team, and again, just helping my teammates and our team be the best we can.
You've experienced, obviously, Summit League championships. Last year was different. Your team goes into the tournament, playing on day number one. You have to fight through that thing. You had the experience before. How important was that experience for some of the new players who were getting a lot of playing time to feel that championship and try to use that as motivation going into this offseason?
Yeah, I think there's something to be said when you have the experience of winning the championship. But I think last year specifically, even with the new players, I think we went into that confident as a whole team, and I don't think any of us looked back. But going into this year, just having a big group of us that have experienced that, and very recently, but just like, how do we come back hungrier for more, knowing it's going to be even harder this year?
You talked about the opportunity this weekend to play at home, and your team's going to welcome in three teams for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. How exciting is that? And really, two weekends, consecutive weekends at home. How important is that for your team going into Summit League play?
I'm extremely excited to play at home, playing in front of our home fans, which we got to do in the exhibition, but having our first real home match this Thursday is going to be so fun, and also just our routine. We have a routine at home, and I think sleeping in our own beds and just being in our own gym, having our own space, I think is really exciting, and again, just kind of getting more rest being at home the next two weekends before we get the conference play off and rolling.
I know that each and every game you're just focused on what you need to do for that particular opponent, but on Saturday it'll be the championship banner unveiling, it'll be a whiteout, and you play the University of Kansas from your home state, from Lansing, Kansas. I know your sister played there as well. How special is that to get to play Kansas with all the ties to the state and the university to play them right here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be so much fun. Very new team, but their senior class is still girls that I played against growing up, and my family grew up Kansas fans, but I'm really excited to go compete against them and kind of get an opportunity to compete against a school that I grew up watching, and also a nationally ranked opponent is going to be really exciting.
Well, better make sure your family wears the right jersey or right shirt to the game.
My sister is wearing stuff from my closet, so we're ready.
It'll be a fun opportunity. And obviously the goal is to win, but the championship unveiling, the banner, how special is that when you see it on the floor? Is it hard to see it right before a match? Because it can be an exciting and over-emotional thing. Does it get you amped up for the match, or is it a little bit overhyped?
I think it's fun. I mean, I think a big part of our team returning and then also getting to see some seniors from last year back in Verm is really exciting, and adding the whiteout onto that, I think, each year since I've been here that those games have been so exciting. I mean, if we look back at Louisville, was my freshman year that we did the whiteout. Such a fun game that I'll never forget, like the atmosphere of. And then the USF game a few years ago, Iowa State last year. Like all of those have been such fun games. And so I think we all get a little extra excited for that whiteout game.
Certainly makes it a lot of fun. You look back at your career and you'll think about this after you get done and the success that you had, but how much just this year are you focused on thinking one more championship, one more of this? How much have you thought about that as you try to, you know, continue to motivate this team throughout the season?
Yeah, like you said, taking it one game at a time and kind of enjoying every last game that I get here as part of this program. But I think just how, like, this is it for me, but how do we find a way to do something that South Dakota Volleyball has never done? And so I think just fighting and working for that each and every day is going to make a huge difference for us in the long run, and we'll see what we can accomplish.
I know you're focused on the season right now, but what's going to be next for you? After this gets done, what have you thought about what's next?
I'm not entirely sure. I'll be here for sure through another semester. I started grad school, and so finishing out my MBA here, and then we'll kind of go from there.
And what do you hope to do someday?
You know, I'm still learning and figuring out kind of what interests me, but I think I see myself working in sports maybe, and I've been involved in sports my whole life, and just maybe finding a role in there that suits me best.
Well, you've done some of it here with video creations and some of that. Did you enjoy doing some of that stuff? Is that kind of the angle, or is it a different area of working in sports?
I think it could go either way. I've enjoyed it a lot, and getting a lot of experience through making videos, different graphics, and even more recently getting into photography. But yeah.
I know you're excited for the home matchups this week. What would be your message to fans to make sure they get out and see this year's version of Cuyahoga Volleyball?
I think this team is really, really fun to watch, and there's going to be a lot of exciting points and rallies, and I don't think that you'll leave bored. So I think it'll be a great time, and come out and see how we can play.
Should probably ask you, did you enjoy the foreign tour this summer?
Yes, it was an incredible experience, a once-in-a-lifetime experience to be able to go for 10 days and hang out with my teammates, our coaches, and supporters, our whole program, and just getting to leave a place that most of us had never been before with new memories and experiences was really, really cool.
Well, keep working. I know a lot of people are ready to cheer on you and your team this week and next weekend as well. Thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Good luck this year.
Thank you.
That is Cameron Ferris. She is a senior on the Cuyahoga Volleyball team and has won back-to-back Defensive Player of the Week honors in the Summit League to start the season. Cameron Ferris getting it done here in senior season. Cheer her and the Coyotes on this weekend and next weekend. Both are home weekends for volleyball. South Dakota at home for the first time this season on Saturday when the Coyotes host Northern Colorado. For the fans, it is a whiteout inside the Dakota Dome. Tickets are available at goyotes.com. Northern Colorado comes into the matchup 1-1 on the season. They have a 14-point win over Division II Chadron State and then an FBS close loss to Colorado State last week, 21-17. Chris Boland joins us now. He's the analyst for the radio broadcast for Northern Colorado. Chris, how are you and how are things? I'm sure everybody's been itching to get the seasons going, and now we're a couple of games in.
Yeah, it's been a fun first couple weeks. You know, it felt really good for the team to get kind of off the schneid, so to speak, winning in week one against Chadron, just with how some of the struggles they've had over the past 2 years. And then last week just kind of, it came out of nowhere for me. I'm sure the guys on the team were kind of expecting it. But, you know, I think there's a new level of excitement around the program after, even though it was a loss, a very close, hard-fought game against CSU.
What have the last couple of seasons been like with Ed Lamb as the coach? I know he's trying to build something there. They've had a struggle for a while at Northern Colorado. He takes over, trying to build something. What has the, acceptance of him and reaction as he tries to build this thing?
I think it's understanding, because a lot of people who are following the program do kind of understand where UNC sits in the greater hierarchy. And I think when he was first hired, there was a lot of excitement seeing what he did at Southern Utah, especially a very similar program to UNC, was able to turn that around, win a Big Sky title there. But it's been, I want to say up and down, mostly down. That first year he had with Jacob Sermon, a lot of close games. Didn't get a win, but there was Idaho was top five. Sac State was still really good that year. Close games throughout the season. And then last year was just, it was the quarterback year from hell for UNC. Because Peter Castelli going down early and then just kind of cycled through four or five backups. There was never any real consistency there. So it's definitely frustration from the fans that they haven't won more, but I also think that people who are paying attention kind of understand how we got to where we are.
1-1 start to the season and are seeing the start of that quarterback carousel early as well. Peter Castelli got a couple of touchdowns in week number one, did not play last week against Colorado State. Eric Gibson played instead. What's the situation there at quarterback as they try to navigate that here early in the year?
Yeah, Peter Castelli broken collarbone in week one. Actually, the last, very last play before about a two-hour rain delay. A scramble out right and just tripped up by his shoelaces. I think he landed on the ball. But Eric Gibson, from everything I saw and everything I've heard, very, very encouraged with how he played against CSU. Felt like he carried himself with a bit of a swagger that we haven't seen from the quarterback position at UNC in pushing a decade now, maybe. And it looked like they had full confidence in him, too. I was worried they were going to kind of, you know, not seize up, but not fully kind of let him run the offense. And they didn't dig too deep into the bag of tricks, but it seems like the coaching staff has full confidence in him. And I have full confidence in him after what I saw last week.
You know, it's not often that you'll have an FCS team go to an FBS, and the FCS team appears to be the most disciplined, less penalties for Northern Colorado than Colorado State, less turnovers than the Rams had. That is a very important piece to building a program, it would seem.
Yes, and that's actually one thing that they have been very consistent on for the past 2 years. As soon as, maybe not so much, they've been sloppy in a couple decisions or, you know, 12 guys on the field, 10 men on punt squad, that type of stuff, but very disciplined once the whistles blow. I've said it a couple times on the broadcast, especially last year. I was like, can we try holding a little bit? You know, like typically it's like four penalties a game for 20 yards, but CSU was the exact opposite of that. It was very interesting kind of going in and seeing all those kind of mental mistakes, watching them be sloppy with the ball, not quite know what's going on out there. And it's just encouraging that UNC looked like the more well-put-together, better-coached team.
With Northern Colorado, if people look at the stats, you can see that this team has gone forward a couple of times this season on fourth down. Is that the aggressive nature of the coaching staff, or is it just what the game presents?
I think those were just kind of what the game presents. I would say the coaching staff is pretty conservative generally. They dig down into some special teams tricks from time to time, but I do think in general it's a conservative approach from the coaching staff, kind of top to bottom.
When you look at this team, and obviously you've seen them play in two games, and I'm sure you've seen more of them than just that, but what's the strength of this group? What makes this group go, and what gives this team a chance to win more games this season?
See, that's an interesting question, John, because if you would have asked me that 2 weeks ago prior to the Shadron State game, I would have told you the offensive line. We have a lot of the same pieces from even Ed Lamb year one that we're starting as true freshmen or very young, and they've kind of grown into their bodies, so to speak. But that didn't really materialize in the first couple games. We're able to run the ball decent against Shadron, and couldn't really get too much going against CSU, but you never know how much to put into that. But I think there is just it's almost a non-quantifiable thing. I do think they're kind of playing with a belief that nobody believes in us. Everybody picked us last. I think it's more what's the phrase? The sum is greater than the parts. That's a terrible, I do radio. I should know that phrase, but they're kind of coming in with these intangibles that I think is hard to kind of describe. A lot of talent at the wide receiver position too. Braden Monroe, Carver Cheeks, if you saw that catch, non-catch last week. Very, very good on the outside. And then secondary was very young coming in, but they performed admirably against CSU.
When you look at the schedule right now, obviously opening up with a home game, but now in the middle of a three-game road trip to wrap up non-conference play, the Bears will travel to Houston Christian next week after this matchup in Vermillion. How important is this game this weekend, just from the standpoint of, you know, the next one is on the tail end of a three-game road stretch?
I think this one is almost more important to see how they kind of come out after that CSU game, because there was a very similar situation last year, week three home game against Abilene Christian, where by all accounts, UNC was on their way to win. Abilene, like two boom, boom plays in a 2-minute drill, hit a 55 yarder to go ahead and or to win as time expired. And then the next week, quarterback gets hurt. The backup comes in and it's just a rout against Stephen F. Austin. And it just, they were never able to really recover from that aside from the one game against Weber. But I think it's almost as important for mindset to show that, to prove that week two wasn't just a fluke. And especially now that South Dakota come in as a top five program, the FBS loss to Iowa State, that one, you can kind of describe away. But then now that they're 0-2 after the loss to Lamar, I think this one feels gettable in a way that maybe it didn't before last week. So I think it's really important to kind of set the tone for the rest of the season, especially going to Houston Christian next week before opening Big Sky play.
What do you make of the entire schedule? Obviously, you open a Big Sky play against Idaho State, but then if you look at the schedule as it stands now, it is a stretch in the Big Sky of, what is it, five straight ranked teams right now. So you even, count it back to this one. You got six out of the next eight opponents are currently ranked inside of the top 25. And listen, we did this a few years ago trying to get the foothold in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. It's a tough league. The Big Sky and the Valley trying to gain some footing and gain some momentum when you're playing these ranked opponents week in and week out.
Yeah, and that's absolutely nothing new for UNC. The schedule's been just a gauntlet the past two seasons, being in the Big Sky, and no different this year. I think that's what makes preseason looking forward. I was thinking, you know, maybe a 3-2 start is possible if things go right. I'm marking down the two losses to CSU and South Dakota, actually. And then Houston Christian seems gettable. And then Idaho State week one, they've been kind of all over the place, but that one also feels gettable. And I think with that stretch coming up, it just makes that more important because Sac State, UC Davis, I believe Montana State. So just a lot of tough teams coming in, and it has made it hard where, I think that 1-11 last year could have very easily been a 4-8 had it not been a Big Sky slate that they were playing every week. But I think once they're able to turn the corner, those games will be more opportunities instead of things that the fans are kind of dreading a little bit, you know?
No doubt about it. Well, it's a storied history between these two former conference opponents back once upon a time, and now two teams who are searching for win number one against FCS programs this season. Chris, really appreciate your time. Have a great trip to Vermillion, and we'll look forward to seeing you this weekend.
Thank you, John. See you Saturday.
That is Chris Bolin. He is an analyst on the radio broadcast for Northern Colorado. The Bears come in at 1-1 on the season, and they're looking to build off their momentum of nearly beating Colorado State last week. They would love to come in here and get a dome victory over South Dakota. So we'll see what happens here on Saturday afternoon. Big thanks to Chris for joining us and also Cameron Ferris as well. Before we wrap things up, let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. Obviously, the action gets underway on Thursday this week with soccer at home and volleyball at home. It's busy. The soccer team will take on Northern Colorado at 6 o'clock. Volleyball set to take on Green Bay at 7. But don't forget, Kansas and Florida Gulf Coast also play at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday. On Friday, Green Bay and Kansas will play at 4 o'clock. And then at 7 p.m., the Coyotes take on Florida Gulf Coast as part of the Coyote Invitational. Saturday, women's tennis is in Sioux Falls. They'll take on the Augustana Invite. Women's volleyball, Coyote Invitational, 10 a.m., Green Bay and Florida Gulf Coast. And then at 5 p.m., the Coyotes take on the 17th-ranked Kansas Jayhawks in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. So check it all out. You can head right over to the volleyball matchup against Kansas following Coyote football against Northern Colorado. Kickoff is set for 1 o'clock. You can hear that football game on the Coyote Sports Network. Our pregame coverage gets underway at 12 o'clock. We'll have conversations with coordinators, head coach, a player, all of it leading up to the opening kickoff at 105 inside the Dakota Dome. You can also watch the action on Midco Sports and ESPN Plus. On Sunday, women's tennis continues at the Augustana Invite. Women's triathlon is set to compete in Grand Junction, Colorado at Desert's Edge Collegiate Cup. Soccer will be in action in Omaha. They will head to Creighton to take on the Blue Jays. Looking ahead to next Wednesday, softball will be in action against Mount Marty in Vermilion in a fall ball action, fall ball competition at 4:15. In the afternoon. And don't forget, the South Dakota Classic will be in Vermilion next week as well. The Coyotes will welcome in Villanova, Drake, and Wichita State for three matches over the course of next weekend as well. So lots of things going on in Coyote Athletics. Hope you can check them out. Check the schedule pages. Make sure there are no changes. If you need tickets to any of the events, you can get those tickets at goyotes.com. All right, big thanks to Cameron Ferris for joining us, Chris Boland as well. That's it for me this week. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.